From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Saturday, January 18th, which means you're listening to a special weekend edition of the podcast featuring the Capitol Recap. Coming up, Vermont Public's Pete Hirschfeld will explain why Republicans and some Democrats are seeking to roll back Vermont's climate mandates. That's after this. In the spring of 2020, Democratic lawmakers enacted one of the most aggressive emissions reduction mandates in the nation. But 4 years later, it's unclear how or even if elected officials will be able to keep that commitment. Vermont Public's Peter Hirschfeld has been following climate and energy bills in Montpelier and is here to talk about the rough road ahead for the lawmakers and environmental advocates who want to substantially reduce carbon pollution in the state. Hey, Pete.
Hi, Mitch.
So, weaning Vermont off fossil fuels, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, I mean, this has been one of the state Democratic Party's top priorities in recent years. But why are they having so much trouble moving that agenda forward in 2025?
They're having trouble because they no longer enjoy the lopsided majorities in the legislature that had allowed them to override vetoes by Republican Governor Phil Scott. Phil Scott is not nearly as bullish as lawmakers are on the environmental promise and the economic potential of rapidly decarbonizing Vermont's energy consumption. But that hasn't mattered in the past because Democrats were able to sidestep his opposition. Back in 2020, Democrats in the House and Senate used their numbers to enact something called the Global Warming Solutions Act. It created a binding mandate that says Vermont has to hit emission reduction benchmarks in 2025, 2030, and again in 2050. But hitting those targets is going to require sweeping policy changes and a lot of money, I should say, to subsidize all the upfront costs that you run into when you want to increase the uptake of electric vehicles, for instance, or get Vermonters to convert en masse to electric sources for home heating. Democrats no longer have the numbers in Montpelier to enact that kind of sweeping policy change on their own. Republicans have enough seats to sustain the governor's veto, and that's a political development that has dealt a significant setback to Democrats' climate agenda.
So then, Pete, what's the plan here? Because if hitting those mandates is going to require major policy changes and a lot of infusion of revenue, what's the next step?
The one big policy proposal that Democrats were counting on to get Vermont on track to hit those mandates was something called the Clean Heat Standard. That policy would have compelled importers of heating fuel to either help people convert to greener heating technologies or to pay money to subsidize clean energy projects. But that concept, as originally envisioned, looks to be dead on arrival in 2025 because Republican lawmakers, almost to a person, oppose that plan. And of course, they have enough votes now to sustain Phil Scott's inevitable veto of that bill. Democrats are looking at a couple other options. One is a straight-up tax on heating fuel. So Vermonters would pay a per-gallon tax on propane or heating oil, and that money would go into a pot that funds weatherization projects or the installation of heat pumps. Another possibility they're looking at is taking the model we use to fund Efficiency Vermont and adding an equivalent surcharge on heating bills. But there's no overriding consensus at this point on either of those options or any others. And Phil Scott and Republican lawmakers say they're going to stand against any proposal that has the effect of increasing taxes and fees on Vermonters. Bennington Representative Kathleen James is the Democratic chair of the House Committee on Energy and Digital Infrastructure, so she's pretty plugged into this issue. But she said, good luck if you're trying to figure out what's going to happen next on the energy front.
We're going to have to find a path forward, I think, that has broad agreement, right? And I think that predicting what's going to happen on that during the second week of the legislative session is just, that's a fool's errand.
Okay, so tons of uncertainty here, Pete, about what Vermont can or will do to reduce carbon emissions. Meanwhile, we're getting closer and closer to these really aggressive milestones that you talked about in the Global Warming Solutions Act. What happens if Vermont does not hit those mandates?
failure to hit those mandates, Mitch, comes with some potentially severe consequences. Vermont's law allows individuals or organizations to sue the state if it doesn't hit the statutory benchmarks, and a judge could then force the Agency of Natural Resources to come up with a plan on its own to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So that'd be one unelected person in an executive branch agency making these enormous policy decisions outside the deliberative realm of the legislature. That's one big reason that Phil Scott and Republican lawmakers are pushing hard this year to get rid of those mandates, or at least push them out a few years and strip the law of this provision that allows people to sue. And there are more than a few Democrats that agree with Phil Scott on that, including Senate Majority Leader Keisha Ram Hinsdale, who says, you know, it looks like the Global Warming Solutions Act may not be the right proposal for Vermont.
We should have never put a gun to our own head. And if a Democratic governor came to the Democratic legislature and said, we can't meet these timelines without dislocating the economy, we would be open to that. And so we should be just as open with this administration.
But, Mitch, there are plenty of other Democrats who say these mandates are the only thing that's lending urgency to this effort to clean up Vermont's energy system and help Vermonters transition off of fossil fuels that will, by and large, cost folks more over the long run. The overriding question for lawmakers this year is not how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It's whether they're going to keep this law in place that says we have to.
That's Vermont Public's Pete Hirschfeld. Really appreciate your explainer on this, Pete, on this complex issue. Thanks so much.
Yeah, great to be with you, Mitch.
And you can get all of Vermont Public's news coverage out of the State House delivered to your inbox every week by signing up for our Capitol Recap newsletter. Head over to vermontpublic.org anytime for breaking news out of Montpelier. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. I'll talk to you soon.